So, I don't know where are you in this gospel. If you are lost, or you are found, you are dead, you are alive, or you are older brother who stays in the house and grumble against everybody. I know we have in this parish many people who grumble. We have many people who demand. But what is important? I want to start with the idea of mercy and justice. These two ideas are completely opposed. Mercy means you don't get the punishment you deserve, or you get the gifts which you didn't deserve. Justice means you don't get the punishment you deserve. You get the punishment you deserve, and you don't get the good things which you don't deserve. Correct? Now, the problem is that God is infinitely just and infinitely merciful. Not that God is on Monday merciful, on Tuesday just. That He is little just on Monday and little merciful on Monday. He is all the time infinitely merciful, infinitely just. We cannot imagine that. Only imagination, only way to explain this contradiction is the cross. In cross, justice and mercy meet. There, contradiction of the cross is contradiction of justice and mercy. In justice, God took all the punishment, all the evil He took on Himself, and He destroyed, by His mercy, He destroyed evil in Himself. God is crazy of love. He has crazy ideas, I tell you. And we can see how crazy God is exactly from the gospel. Listen what He says in the gospel. And the complaint that He visits sinners, that He loves the sinners. He tells them the parable of man. And He phrases it in a strange way. He says, which one of you, if you have 100 sheep and one get lost, would not leave and forget 99 and go in search of one? Proper answer is nobody. You understand? Nobody will leave 99 for one. This one may be already dead and eaten by lions. You spend 3 days searching for her, for that lost sheep, and you don't find it, find the bones. You come back and you find more bones. You understand? Doesn't make sense. Yet in God's, what is the point? If you work by justice, you always have to calculate how much you deserve and what you don't deserve. You don't have work by heart, you work by calculator. You understand? You work, you come in the church, you serve here, and you say, God, now I deserve that you treat me well. See, I was here every Sunday, I was serving on the mass, I was reading, I don't know what. I washed the windows on the church, I don't know what. And I deserve that you treat me well. I am good son, not like the other one. Look, this on the back of the church, he never helped anything. You understand? That's how we treat God. We are often like this son who has calculator instead of heart. The other son, he doesn't calculate. I mean, at first, he had only calculator. He said to the father, give me the things which I deserve. And his property, his wealth. And then he left the father. Can you imagine? Did you catch? Probably you did, but I will remind you. What it means that he said to his father, give me the part of my inheritance. If I translate this in proper English, this son is saying, I don't care if you are alive or dead, just give me my money, and you can die, you can do whatever you want. You know how that sounds to the father? And the father gave him money. And the son went and lost all the money. And when everything fell apart, his only, when he, coming back to the son, to the father, to swallow his pride, to go back to the father, was only option. He came back, and the father didn't for 1 second give him what he deserved. He treated him with mercy, with love. And that's so offensive for other brother. You see, I don't have to explain much about justice, because we all seek justice. But if we look toward God, better we hope for mercy, not for justice. Because if we get what we deserve, God help us. Or if we get what we deserve, I don't know who else can help us if we get from God. The problem is we don't see what we deserve. The younger son, once he come back in the house, he can enjoy being with the father. He can really enjoy his life with the father. He has experienced what hell is, and he can enjoy now being in the life in the house of the father, even working for the father, even whatever. He is happy because he knew what it means to be outside of that house. The older son, who was all the time with the father, he constantly thinks he deserves something. He doesn't enjoy it. He says it. He says, I was working for you like a slave. I mean, if I was his father, I would tell him, go out and work for somebody else if you're not happy here. You understand? I was working for you. He didn't enjoy it before. He doesn't enjoy it now. He never enjoys with the father. He doesn't see that to be in the house of the father is the blessing. And here it comes, this point. Only way truly to enjoy mercy is when we know what mercy saves us from. Does it make sense what I'm saying? I'm not sure if my sentence makes sense. You have to help me. Only way to really rejoice in the mercy of God when we know what hell is. Mercy of God saves us from hell. The problem is, we think we deserve heaven. And until we don't have smaller taste of heaven, of hell, we don't understand how mercy of God is saving us. For that reason, justice and mercy come together. We have to have some sense of justice. Some sense that we deserve hell. That we may truly rejoice in the mercy of God. What these three parables mean? Look what God says, what Jesus Christ says. He says, in first parable, one man has 100 sheep and one is lost. In second parable, one woman has 10 coins. Actually, the word used is like 10 pennies. And for one penny, she frantically searches all the house. She's a crazy woman, I tell you. And then after she finds that one penny, she makes the feast on which she spends more than one penny to celebrate she found that. And because it doesn't work like calculator. And what is important? So in first, one sheep of 100 is lost. In second, one penny of 10 is lost. In third, one brother of 2 is lost. And messages, doesn't matter if you are 1 of 100, 1 of 10, 1 of 2, or 1 in 7 billion people on the planet. You are precious in the eyes of God. You are so important, not because you are worthy more or less than a penny. You are important because God loves you. That's what gives us importance, not what you do. Not because you are good and God finds you worthy. No, because God has created you out of love. And that's what makes you worthy in the eyes of God. How do I know that? Of course, Father, you are a priest, you read this in the books. No. I was very, very, very lost sheep. I was there on the bottom. And I didn't come back to my father's house. No, he came to search for me. When I was deep in doo-doo, Christ came in my doo-doo to take me out. You understand? There where I could not stand myself, I despised myself. And God showed me that He loved me. That's enormous mercy. That's enormous mercy to love somebody who is so unlovable that he cannot love himself. And that love of God changed my life. I don't even in the moment speak about forgiveness of sins. Yes, there would not be forgiveness of sins if there is no love. But I speak about this personal interest of God for somebody so small as I was. I mean, I'm still small, but if you compare with God, God of the whole universe, like He doesn't have enough job to do, all the stars, all the universe, He is interested in me. Can you imagine? He's interested in you. You are important to Him. I don't know why. I know why I am important to Him. No explanation. Catherine of Genoa says it very well. He is pazzo di amore, the crazy of love. He's crazy, crazy of love. Doesn't make sense. This love, enormous love for the sinners, doesn't make sense. Because He doesn't calculate what He gets from us. He doesn't get anything from us. He got from me, even after He showed me His love, even after He brought me back in the church, even after He gave me so much joy, what He get back from me? More betrayal. I think my sins after I entered the church were much greater than before. Because before I didn't know the love of God. I did terrible things, but I didn't know the love of God. After, I did less terrible things, but a sin is worse because I knew the love which I was abandoning. So it's very important to see, to recognize that love, because to recognize that we are always welcomed by the Father. I have to add here one more thing. It's important. There is no sin which you can commit that which would be greater than the love of God. Nobody should despair. Whatever sin you have committed, love of God is greater. There is no, this amount of sins, that is no big or small, which can be greater than the love of God. I have amount, in 15 years that I was outside of the church, I amounted enormous amount of sin. Huge ones. And God, that was nothing for God to destroy, take away all these sins and show me His love. But there is one thing needed. We don't need to pay God for this forgiveness of sin. Grace is always free. But one thing is needed is repentance. Repentance. Without repentance, all the forgiveness is useless. Repentance means at least, at minimum, acknowledgement what I have done is wrong. Not just against the law. It is absolutely wrong, and I should find a way to stop repeating the same sin. Without repentance, it is like when some guy comes and says in the confession, "Father, I have stolen book and I have stolen bicycle, but also forgive me because next week I have to steal motorbike of my neighbor." There is no forgiveness for such case. You understand? There is no repentance. If there is no repentance, there is no acknowledgement, what I'm doing is wrong, and God, please help change my heart. I don't want to keep doing the same thing. All the forgiveness, all the love of God will not help you. The love of God comes to transform us, to make us new person, which can enjoy living in the love of, in the house of the Father, which can enjoy doing the will of God. That's only thing what, because the joy of heaven, at the end, we are created for the joy of heaven is to be one with God, to be in the presence of God all eternity. And if we don't enjoy that, what is good, all the forgiveness, if you don't enjoy being with God, if you don't enjoy doing His will, then better keep doing your will and go to hell. And because that's what hell is. I know what hell is because I was doing my will for so many years. I'm expert in that. I know what hell is because I touched the entrance of hell, and then God took me out. So again, who look in this story of the prodigal son? Look again. Who is the happy one? The one who was outside, not doing the will of God, recognized I'm a sinner, and he come back. The one who constantly feel the just one. The one who constantly feel I have done good. I have done nothing wrong. And God will for sure bring me into the kingdom of heaven. And God says, I don't mind, you can come here. But if you are not happy, why you would come here? If you feel as a slavery to be with God, rather go sin and see where it leads. Then come back. God will search you. No, there is never joy in sin. There is never joy in, but there is joy in mercy, in this acknowledgement of this enormous love of God. And let's be honest, even those who have never committed huge sins, they are still separate from God, and they need to recognize, if not the actual sins, then their sinfulness, their separation, and beg God to help us, help them from them. God wants to show His mercy to everyone. Hopefully I finish with that. Nobody is so bad that cannot live in the kingdom of God if he acknowledges his sins. Nobody is so good that can enter the kingdom of God without being changed and transformed by God. The problem is, the one who thinks I'm good will not ask God to be transformed. You understand? Doesn't need any forgiveness if he has done nothing wrong, but he needs transformation to live happily in the presence of God. And the problem is, if we think I'm already good enough, I will not ask God to change me into truly the Son of God. Because what Christ said, actually, let's start from Old Testament. In Old Testament, God says, be holy as I am holy. In New Testament, in Gospel of Matthew, Jesus Christ says, be perfect as your Father is perfect. On another place, he says, be merciful as your Father is merciful. Adam and Eve sinned because they wanted to be as God. And all the time, the plan of God was to make us like God. But we have to recognize in which way we are different than God. And to beg God to transform us, to make us like Him. When we are not merciful, when we judge, when we, older son, that's what he is not merciful, when that's what he judge, to beg God, please, please transform me, make me as you. No big deal. I'm a sinner. You are holy. Make me holy. That's all. To see this need, to yearn for this holiness, and it will be given to us. Let us stand and profess our faith.